We love you, brother.
You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 46. Mark, chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What will thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Amen. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Amen. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, every lust, every action, every attitude, everything and anything about me that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that you cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between my soul and thee. Thank you for this day, for the word of God that we've heard from this place. And tonight, thank you for the faithfulness of thy servants. Thank you for the wonderful music and the songs that have been sung, the lift of our hearts in worship and praise and gratitude to God. Thank you for these dear men of God. Lord, some of your choice servants are here tonight, and we thank you so much for them, for their faithfulness and for their love for thee. I thank you, Lord, for this camp meeting. I pray for Brother Steve that you'll continue to give him physical strength and spiritual anointing and heavenly wisdom as he leads this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the direction that you've taken him. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just make him keenly aware of your presence. I pray, Lord, now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant. Give me that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue. May the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. Should there be those tonight among us that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith, may this be there that lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy and grace with the Lord. We're grateful that Christ Jesus came to this world to seek and to save sinners. And all that you're pleased to do in this hour, the divine distance you take us, we will praise you and bless your dear name for it. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight, and I will be brief as I possibly can. I want to speak to you about the conversion of blind Bartimaeus. The providence of God brought Bartimaeus to Jericho, and grace brought Jesus to Bartimaeus. Jesus may pass through a town, through a community, even a church, and people remain lost. But for that one that does cry for mercy, there is life eternal. Fanny Crosby, the great blind hymn writer, wrote, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." As we look at the conversion and the giving of sight to Bartimaeus, you notice just three things about him: his night, his fight, and his sight. Of course, his condition was he was blind physically. And as tragic as that is, and I cannot imagine what it would be to be blind physically and not be able to see with the physical eyes. But as great a tragedy as that is, it's even a greater tragedy to be spiritually blind and blind to the realities of God. Again, Fanny Crosby, who was blinded by just a quack doctor, who was not even really a doctor, placed a mustard roll on her eyes, and the result was she was blinded for the rest of her life. And once when Miss Crosby was being interviewed by a reporter, the reporter asked her this question: "Miss Crosby, if you could have one wish granted, what would it be?" He was getting ready to write down that I might receive my sight. But to his astonishment, Fanny Crosby replied that I might remain blind. For the first face I shall ever behold will be the face of my Lord. She wrote, "Face to face with Christ my Savior, what will it be?" And of course, February of 1915, she went to bask in the sunlight of his presence. And while, of course, it's a tragedy to be blind physically, it is even a greater tragedy to be blind spiritually. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. He said, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." In order to understand spiritual things, you must be made spiritual. And the only way that you'll ever be made spiritual is to have a spiritual resurrection. "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin." The natural man does not receive the things of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't understand them, and he does not know them. Have you ever seen anybody who says, I don't see any need of being faithful, and so they're unfaithful? I don't see any need of tithing, and they rob the Lord of his tithes and his offerings. And their constant expression is, "I can't see. I don't see." And they're exactly right. Because Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see." And the things of God will remain a mystery and foolishness to that person who is spiritually blind. This man once was blind, but now he could see. A person has no spiritual understanding, because to have no spiritual life, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Lost people are blind to their present state, to their eternal state. He was blind, and as a result of his blindness, he was a beggar. Now, of course, in those days, there was no assistance to the physically handicapped. The circumstances for the blind are nothing, of course, compared to the days of Bartimaeus. He had no help, the best I can tell, no assistance. And the only way that he could even hope to survive was to go sit by a dusty roadside and hold a tin cup or whatever out and beg for the mercy of those that passed by. And after sitting by that dusty roadside in midnight darkness, he would go to the place where he stayed, go to sleep in darkness, wake up the next morning in darkness, and go to that same dusty roadside again and repeat the same process over, day in and day out. Life was miserable for him. He had no hope of anything even being any better. I remind you that the sinner is without peace. The only way to have peace with God is to have the peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a beggar. But you notice his concern. Now, I'm sure that he must have heard. And that he must have heard what Jesus had done less than 20 miles straight up the hill, up toward Jerusalem, in a place called Bethany. How that the Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead and called him from the tomb. And I'm sure that he must have heard about his other miracles. Blind Bartimaeus, of course, could not see, but he could hear. And faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. And no doubt he set up a courtroom in his heart, and he determined that if Jesus of Nazareth ever came near him, if he ever passed by where he was at, he was going to ask for his mercy. He was going to ask for his sight. And he'd already determined his condition, and that he was blind, and that Jesus of Nazareth could help him and give him his sight. The only thing that a sinner can do is cry for the mercy of God. According to his mercy hath he saved us. You remember Jesus told about two men that went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And I'm sure that Pharisee got as close to the place of prominence as he possibly could. He was a proud, arrogant fella. He wanted everybody to see him. He wanted everybody to recognize him. And he prayed, and in essence, his prayer was, "Lord, you're fortunate to have a man on this earth like me. I fast twice a week. I give my tithes." And of course, those things were commendable. But then he said, "I'm so glad I'm not like this publican." And Brother Dana, his prayer went out of his proud head, hit the ceiling of the temple, and bounced back and hit him in his proud head. But I see that old publican take some obscure place over in the corner somewhere. He didn't want to be seen. He didn't want to be recognized of men. So ashamed of himself and so ashamed of his sin. But all he could do was smite his chest. And the only prayer that he could pump out of his heart was, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." But that prayer went out of his heart where it originated. That prayer went past the ceiling. That prayer went past the moon. That prayer went past the universe. And that prayer landed before the throne of grace. And before that old publican could ever utter the last word of his prayer, it had already been written down and recorded in heaven that he was a sinner saved by grace. How thrilling to come to the end of yourself, see yourself a sinner, and find mercy with the Lord. And he determines to himself, "If this strange of Galilee ever passes my way, I'm going to ask for mercy." But then you'll notice fight. Now there's always a struggle when the devil is about to lose a soul. You can rest assured of that. And most of the time, a sinner gets meaner and more contrary than ever before, just before he or she's translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's Son. It is by violence. It is a warfare. When a sinner passes from death unto life. And so there is always a battle. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I just wouldn't want to be a member of a church that ever had any battles, that ever had any problems." And I'm certainly not advocating problems and battles. They come plenty enough without looking for them. Amen. But on the other hand, Brother Steve, who would want to be a part of something so sorry the devil wouldn't fight? You can rest assured when God's people say, "Let us arise," the devil says, "Let me arise." And so there was a warfare going on. You notice cry. He cried for the right thing. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Maybe Bartimaeus had wondered how he could ever get to Jesus. After all, it'd be hard to find somebody that would want to take the time and the trouble to escort this poor blind man to Jesus. And he probably despaired of ever getting to Jesus. But he cried to the right for the right thing. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's all that a sinner can do, is lay down their arms of rebellion and find mercy and grace with the Lord. And Charlotte Elliott was right when she penned those words, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. He cried to the right one, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. And there's no salvation apart from him. I think I've told you this story before, but I heard about a Native American out in Oklahoma. And the Lord saved him. And was trying to witness to his sinner friend, his infidelic friend. And his friend said to him, tell me, just how did the Lord save you? And that dear brother gathered up some leaves, formed a circle, and then found a little worm. Placed that worm in the center of that circle of leaves and set it on fire. The little worm crawled toward the north, driven back with the flames, south, east, west, and finally just curled up in the middle of those flames, ready to face death. But about that time, that dear brother reached down, lifted that worm up and set it free. And he said, his infidel friend, that's how the Lord saved me. I was headed toward the fire, and he reached down and saved me. And thank God, when we could not get to him, he came to us. Mountains of sin were so high that we could not scale them. The oceans of sin were so deep that we could not cross them. But thank God, he left the throne of heaven and came on a mission of mercy and been obedient unto death, sacrificed himself, became sin for us, and made salvation certain through his death. He cried at the right time while Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Jesus would never pass through Jericho again. He was on his way to Jerusalem to drink the cup of death and to face death on the cross. Now, if you reject light, there's nowhere to go but into darkness. I was thinking about a young man that I went to high school with. And one day I got under a terrible burden to ask him about his relationship to the Lord, though I knew it, thought it did. And I never forget witnessing to him and asking about him, his relationship to the Lord Jesus. And I never forget, Brother Curtis, what he said to me. If you ever talk to me about that again, I'll cut your guts out. I never did talk to him anymore. We got out of high school, and sometime after that, he abducted a young lady that we attended the same high school and took her out into a wooded area, mutilated her body, and murdered her. And just a few years ago, died in the North Carolina State Prison. Now, of course, I'm not saying that everybody that turns away from light will go into such darkness. But if you do turn from light, there's nowhere to go but into darkness. If you turn away from Jesus Christ, there is nothing but an eternity. As our dear preacher's already reminded us, that awaits you, the rich man in hell. He lifted up his eyes, been in torment. He cried at the right time, Jesus of Nazareth, while Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. But you notice critics. Now this man, something happened to him. He didn't ever expect what happened. One day he hears the tramping of feet, and he hears the noise of a crowd. Amen. And he discovers Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He couldn't get to him, But he came to Bartimaeus. And I imagine Bartimaeus as he cries, "Jesus, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." That religious crowd was too busy running religious machinery. They didn't have time to hear the crying, calling of this blind man. Said, "Shut up. He has no time for you." But he called even louder. "Jesus," they said, "shut up." He said, "Jesus." They said, "Shut up." But he cried, "Jesus, Jesus." They said, "Shut up." But he cried even louder, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Of course, our Lord heard him the first time. But Jesus stops finally. And you know what that same hypocritical crowd said? While ago they said, "Shut up." And now they say, "Cheer up. He's calling you." And Bartimaeus didn't say, "You bunch of hypocrites. While ago you told me to shut up, and now you tell me to cheer up. Y'all are just a bunch of hypocrites. I think I'll stay blind." Not on your life. Hypocrites or no hypocrites. All that mattered was that Jesus of Nazareth was calling him. And he arose and came to Jesus. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He cast aside his garment, symbolical of his character. He might have gotten that cloak out of a garbage can somewhere, but it represented who he was. And he received his sight, and Jesus said, "What wilt thou that I do unto thee?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus said to him, "Go thy way." But in reality, the blind man, Bartimaeus, said, Lord, I'm not letting you out of my sight." And he followed Jesus out of Jericho. Now, I'm not trying to be picky or technical. But in reality, I'm not on the Jericho road. I'm on the Jerusalem road. I've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, for the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. I have come to Jesus. Now, of course, Jericho is located beside the Dead Sea, the lowest spot on planet Earth. If you get to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, you'll have to go up. If you enter from the north, south, east, or west, you'll have to go up. I remember many years ago I had the privilege to be in Jericho the day before Christmas, Christmas Eve day, and it was 80-some degrees. But by the time we got to Jerusalem, it was snowing and sleeting in December. And Bartimaeus said, "Lord, I'm not under the city of curse anymore." Jericho represents that city that is under the curse and the judgment of God. But in the grace of God, I've not come to Mount Sinai. I've come to Mount Zion. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus out of Jericho. Like the blind man, I've wandered in the darkness of my sin. That old load of guilt I carried. Praise God, I'm free. Looking for that bright tomorrow where no tears shall ever fall. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by.